Mark chapter 10, the passage that we read together, and especially those latter verses. And tonight I want us to witness the power of faith. We will see a man that is transformed from the road of beggars to the road to Calvary. We see a man that is turned from the road to doom, and he is now ready for glory. Let's sneak a little peek at the end of the story. Perhaps sometimes you read a book like that, and you say, well, I want to see how this ends before we even begin. If you look at the last little statement in the chapter, verse 52, well, we get the end of the story. And followed Jesus in the way. What? That filthy, blind Bartimaeus? That beggar who sat along the roadside? That dirty, scruffy beggar that no one even cared about? He is now joining the crowd, following the Lord Jesus through Jericho on the way to Jerusalem. And it was all because of his faith. In that verse 52, you'll notice what the Lord Jesus pronounced. Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now those are liberating words. Those are victory words for any man. He was free from his blindness. He was free from his begging. And he was free from the highway of shame where he had once sat begging. But note that Bartimaeus used that freedom to follow the Lord Jesus. That's the staggering thing I notice. Jesus said, go thy way. And it turns out that Bartimaeus' way was the way that the Lord Jesus was already leading. Now that shows me this was genuine faith at work. And it is the power of faith that I want us to look at in this story and account here tonight. You've heard it said that we are not saved by works through faith, but by faith that works. And if your faith does not work, it is not true faith at all. In the book of James we read, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. And that is what we see here in this account of what once was blind Bartimaeus. We see faith at work. And we need that kind of faith. We need faith that will set us on the way of following the Lord Jesus. Now, a little later in the message, we will see what that involved. To be on that day, following the Lord Jesus through Jericho, up that slope all the way to the city of Jerusalem. And remember, this was his last journey through Jericho, and he was going the way of the cross. And we're going to learn something of what that meant. And so I hope tonight that Bartimaeus is something of a camera shot of your own Christian life. That tonight you are following the Lord in the way. And it's the way you want to go. There's no pressure. There's no outward forces that's pressuring you to go this route. You can truly say, it is the desire of my heart that I follow the Lord Jesus in the way. And of course, every Christian wants to be in the center of God's will. We want to be in that way that is close to the Lord, that will make us to be useful unto the Lord. Now, do you know what I mean by that? This camera shot of your soul. Are you on board that you want to be parallel with this man Bartimaeus in the way that he followed the Lord Jesus? Well, let's take a look at his faith, and I trust that we will apply it to our own hearts here tonight as well. I want you to see that it is faith in the person of the Lord Jesus. I want us to check the genuineness of faith. And you must see that it is faith with the right object in this case. And it is not determined by feelings. It's not determined by emotions, but on its object. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's very easy for us in this account to check this. Because if we want to know what was the object of this man's faith, I want you to answer this question. What or who was the first thing or person that Bartimaeus saw when the Lord opened his eyes? It was Jesus. That's the wonder of the story. The first thing that Bartimaeus saw was the Savior. And the miracle of healing, opening his eyes, gave him a sight of the Lord Jesus. And in that, it is parallel with genuine faith. Because true, saving, gospel, evangelical faith gets your eyes on the Lord Jesus. He is the object of our faith. Not some religious trinket, not some man-made idol, not a religious relic, but the person, the Lord Jesus. That's the cue, the focus of a true believer's faith. And of course, we're told in our Christian life to be ever looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's how we walk. That's how we become a disciple. And every day we must be keeping our eyes upon the Lord. Now, it's very interesting as you follow through this account how Bartimaeus came to clearer and clearer views of the Lord Jesus. He started off whenever he cried out along the roadside, and we're told that he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was coming along that way. Now, that was Jesus' earthly ID. He was born of Nazareth. He was of the family of Nazareth. That was an accurate statement of the earthly identity of the Lord Jesus. His family belonged to Nazareth. He grew up there. He worked there until he was 30 years of age. But Bartimaeus didn't stop there. Because as he sat along that roadside, heard about Jesus of Nazareth, what did he cry out? Look at verse 48. It says, he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." Now that was his messianic ID. Jesus of Nazareth is his earthly ID, but Jesus, thou son of David, was his messianic ID. And of course, the prophets, the scriptures, taught that the Savior, the Messiah, would be of the line of David. He would be of the house of David. And so this now is a statement of faith. Faith in the scriptures. Faith in the prophecies of the Old Testament. Faith in the ID of the true Messiah. So we can see Bartimaeus' faith at work. And we can see that faith will always be in accordance with the scriptures. If your faith is contrary to what's in the Bible, it's not true biblical faith. If your faith is off the mark, then you cannot say you have the faith that comes from God. Faith will accept the biblical statements about the Lord Jesus, because that's the only true Savior. And so Bartimaeus' faith, no doubt, was building. And I hope tonight that you have that growing faith that Jesus is not only the one that was born in Nazareth, but he is the one who is the son of David, the Messiah. Now, in that faith, he cried out for mercy. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And he recognized that Jesus was the one who could deal with him on the very basis of mercy. Now, mercy was his appeal, because he had nothing else. He was a beggar. He had nothing to offer. He was empty-handed, bankrupt, broken, blind. And so the only argument he could put up that day was mercy. And of course, that is the Savior's forte. He delighteth in mercy. And here is now true faith at work. He gets his eyes on the Lord, calls him the Son of David, and he pleads with him for mercy. Now, there's a wonderful text in the Bible that links David to God's mercy. And it's in the book of Isaiah, and perhaps it would be profitable just to take a peek at that. If you turn with me to Isaiah 55 and verse 3. And this really is the gospel, and it is a wonderful convergence of the whole idea and the truth of God's mercy and in Jesus, the Son of David. It says here in Isaiah 55:3, "Incline your heart and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." Now, Bartimaeus may have been blind, but he was not deaf. And he heard of Jesus of Nazareth. It says that right there in Mark 10. He heard of Jesus of Nazareth. He also heard these prophecies concerning the Lord Jesus, and therefore he was bang on that day to plead for mercy. If there was anything that would link this man up to the Lord Jesus Christ, it was the cry for mercy. And of course, that is the great boon that the Lord delighteth to give. And so faith that is real, faith that works to the saving of the sinner's soul, is focused on the Lord Jesus, focused on his messiahship and mercy. All of it adds up to a perfect picture of real faith. And so when we sing that hymn, "A Debtor to Mercy Alone, of Covenant Mercy I Sing, nor fear with thy righteousness on my person and offering bring. The terrors of law and of God with me have nothing to do. My Savior's obedience and blood hide all my transgressions from view." And so we can check out our faith. Do we have this real, genuine, saving faith? Is the Lord Jesus the object of our faith? Have we this confidence that he's the Son of David and that he is linked to this covenant of mercy? And that's the basis on which we're saved, that we become a Christian and we're delivered from all of our sins. And so he had faith in the person of Christ. I note also in this whole account that this man Bartimaeus had faith in the power of Christ. When it comes right down to it, and he stood before the Lord Jesus, and the Lord said to him, "What wilt thou have me to do unto thee?" What did blind Bartimaeus say? He was like a little boy standing before his father and said, "That I may receive my sight." It's as if, "I know it's nothing to you. You have all power, and I'm simply asking for my eyesight." Did he know what he was asking? Did he understand the extent of this miracle? But again, he knew that nothing was too hard, nothing was impossible for the Lord Jesus. Now, that faith in the power of the Lord was the reason for his boldness. You remember he sat along the roadside and he was crying out, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And everybody was saying, "Shush, quiet. No one wants to hear from you right now." But Jesus heard. And he cried all the more. He cried all the more, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And the boldness, this insistence that was in his heart, "I must have the Lord Jesus." Why? Because he knew that the Lord had power to heal him from his blindness. And when people are backward and shy and say, "Well, I don't want to approach, I don't want to get near," really it's unbelief. It's unbelief that people keep people away from the Lord. but it's faith in the power of the Lord that make man bold. That's the reason why they step forward and say, Lord, I need you, because they have faith in his power. Also in verse 50, you will see again that this faith in the Lord's power is expressed when he cast away his garment. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Now, the very thing that clothed him along the roadway, the very thing that gave him some semblance of dignity, and if it was that typical coat of a Jewish meal that gave him some form of dignity before men, that garment, when he heard of Jesus, he just threw it away. Why? Because he knew he'd never need it again. He knew the Lord would save him from his begging posture, from that way of life, and when he would come to the Lord, that he would be healed. So it's great faith. That's why the Lord said to him, down in verse 52, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now, this garment, this throwing away of the garment, is like throwing away the old life. And that's another mark of true faith. When a person exercises real saving faith in the Lord Jesus, they're going to be done with the old life. There is a measure of repentance mingled with that faith. Now, repentance mingled with faith, I see it here in Bartimaeus' life. And faith is the positive side. Repentance is the negative side, but it's one and the same thing, coming to Jesus. Faith without repentance is empty. And of course, repentance without faith is not sufficient either. We do not believe in doing penance. You can beat yourself up. You can do all kinds of things to say that you're a bad person, but it doesn't link you to the Lord. The two must go together. Our Westminster Confession of Faith, and I checked it on this, chapter 15, sections 1 and 2, it says this, repentance unto life is an evangelical grace, the doctrine whereof is to be preached by every minister of the gospel, as well as that of faith in Christ. So if you want to know if your faith is genuine tonight, I ask you, does it also mean you've given up the old life? You've repented of the old life, the old way. Let me read to you just another little section of that confession, section 2. Upon the apprehension of the mercy in Christ to such as are penitent, so grieves for and hates his sins as to turn from them all unto God, purposing and endeavoring to walk with him all the ways of his commandments. Now, I don't know if the writers of the Westminster Confession of Faith were thinking about the story of blind Bartimaeus, but it's a perfect fit. A man that has a comprehension of God's mercy. And that's what Bartimaeus had. He was pleading mercy. Along with that cry for mercy, there will be this new purpose, endeavoring to walk with him all the ways of his commandments. And that's exactly what we see here in the life of Bartimaeus. And so genuine faith will have in it a measure of repentance. Now, don't ask me to quantify it and measure it and say to what degree, to what extent. Once we go down that route, we're in terrible trouble. If you start quantifying how much repentance do I need, how sorrowful do I need to be, how many tears do I need to shed, how much do I need to afflict myself in either mentally or physically, once you go down that road, you've gotten your eyes completely off the Lord. You see, the very fact that you turn to Jesus for mercy is a cry that you want to be delivered from the old life. And if you came to the Lord for mercy, you're not going to go back to those old sins that got you into debt and guilt and shame. You will want to be delivered from them. Mr. Spurgeon, he wrote this on the subject of faith. to hate sin because it caused the brow of Christ to be girt with the thorn crown, and the face of Christ to be dishonored with the spittle, and the hands of Christ to be pierced with the nail, this is repentance. Not because I am afraid of hell, not because sin brings pains and penalties with it, but because it made Jesus to suffer for me such pangs unutterable. In other words, if you get your eyes on the sufferings of the Lord Jesus, his cross work, it will work in you a sorrow, a mourning, a hatred of sin. And your genuine faith will automatically bring about a desire and a burden that you do not repeat nor go back to the old ways that will bring shame upon the Lord. So I see here in Bartimaeus that he cast away that garment because he was done with the old life. He was going to Jesus. And he had faith that he was going to be healed from his blindness. Thirdly, faith in the power of Christ was the reason for his rising and coming to the Lord. Look at verse 50. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Now this is what gives the gospel preacher the authority, the mandate, to say to some sinner in the pew, would you come to Jesus tonight? Rise, stir up your soul, and tonight come to Jesus. Now it may not be that we insist the person gets out of their seat, walks down the aisle, and bows the knee at the front bench of the church. Mind you, if the Spirit is working and the person is convicted and they want to plead for mercy, I don't see that as altogether wrong. It might be that we would say to the person, will you tonight pray in the seat where you sit? Or will you talk to the elder or minister or Sunday school teacher after the service? Would you pray the sinner's prayer? Rise, come to Jesus. That's true, accurate gospel preaching, whatever the methodology of bringing that person one by one to respond to that. Now, he is given all power and authority in heaven to save his people. Now, this man had faith in the power of the Lord Jesus, and he did rise. He rose up and he went to the Lord Jesus and stood right before him. And he did so because he had faith. He believed that the Lord had all power to do it. Now think on the extraordinary nature of this miracle. The human eye is an amazing creation. It's such an amazing gift. Who can restore sight to a blind person who perhaps for years and years has had loss of the eye? You could say the eye is dead. It's not responding. The nerves are gone. The blood supply is gone. Ophthalmologists, the doctors who specialize in the area of treating eyes, they for the most part work on preventing loss of vision. But when a person goes blind, it's over. And how many, whether through age or through injury or some disease of the eye, the doctor can say to them, well, it's just so far gone, there's nothing we can do. If we had gotten this earlier, if we had intervened at an earlier point, we could have done something to prevent this increase of loss. But now that the eyesight is gone, there's absolutely nothing that we can do. The last time I had an eye exam, after they did all the letter work and then they took this thing to look right into the eye that goes right behind the eyeball to look at the nerves and so on, and then they showed me the picture on the computer screen, and it looked like the moon, and you could see all the blood vessels, and you could see various connections in the eye. And of course, the tree and eye can determine whether it's healthy or whether there's a disease beginning or whatever, and they can begin to see. But the eye is absolutely amazing. And I remember saying to him, who created the eye? And of course, the ophthalmologist I was with, they didn't want to look at that. They didn't want to go into that. But you know, I read in my Bible, Psalm 94, verse 9, he that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? Now in that psalm, the psalmist is arguing that God is omniscient. He sees everything because he's the one that created the human eye with all its intricacy, with all its amazing biology. God's the one that created the eye. And here is Bartimaeus. He believed that all power resided in the Lord Jesus. And he said to him simply, that I might receive my sight. Lord, I know it's in your power to do it. And he just came like a little boy to his father and said, this is my request, that I might get my eyesight. Now, unbelief, of course, would undo the supernatural nature of the Lord Jesus and said, he's just an ordinary man, he's just a great teacher, he's just a person who's passing through, a prophet, a fad, but he's not really supernatural. But Bartimaeus believed that all power resided in the Lord. Now, strangely and wonderfully, in this same chapter, and I don't know if Bartimaeus heard any of this, go back in Mark 10 to verse 23. And there you'll see the beginning of a conversation, and the end of the conversation is staggering. We'll just read the verses because they all link up so closely. Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? They're so full of materialism, they are full of unbelief. And the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure. And here are disciples now, they're staggered at the statement of the Lord, astonished, saying among themselves, well, if that's the case, who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. If you believe that with all your heart, you too would rise and come to Jesus tonight. You would not rest if you believed that Jesus had all power. And any reluctance, any saying, but I don't think I should, it's unbelief. Unbelief. Denying the supernatural nature of the Lord Jesus. And of course, unbelief makes Jesus a liar. He claimed to be the Son of God, claimed to have all power in heaven and earth. And unbelief says, but I don't think so. And they just hold back. That's why unbelievers end up in hell. Because they don't come to the one who can save them. They deny his power. They deny his supernatural nature. So do you see here that faith links up to the power of the Lord Jesus? Do you see here in Bartimaeus the amazing process of how he threw away the garment, knowing that he'd never need it again? He rose up, came to Jesus and said, I just want my eyesight. And the Lord said, right there in verse 52, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. So he had faith in the person of Christ, faith in the power of Christ. Lastly, I want us to look at the fact that he had faith in the passion of the Lord Jesus. And by the word passion, I want to alliterate those three P's, right? Person, power, passion. But by passion, I mean his mission. The mission that Jesus was on. And we know that he was passing through Jericho, on his way to Jerusalem. And we're told here that Bartimaeus joined and followed the Lord Jesus in the way. That's the last statement of the chapter. And now Bartimaeus, with this faith that he was given, he believed in the mission that Jesus was on. And instantly he followed Jesus in the way. Now, where was Jesus going? Let's go back to verse 32. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem. You'll see this emphasis in Mark's gospel on being in the way. I hope tonight that you are in the way. God's way, the gospel way, a disciple of Christ, the way of the cross. Now he was going up the way, going up to Jerusalem. Going up to Jerusalem. And this was going to be his Passion Week, the week of Jesus' death. Now notice the zeal of the Lord in this. Jesus went before them. The Lord Jesus was not a reluctant Savior. He set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem, and he's leading the way to Jerusalem. And Bartimaeus gets on board and becomes a disciple of the Lord Jesus on the way to Jerusalem. And let me say, it was going to be a very tough week for disciples. In this week, the Lord would sift every one of his disciples. We know what happened to Peter on the night of Jesus' arrest and how he denied the Lord three times. We know also that all the other disciples were scattered. It would appear that only John remained very close and was right there at the cross. At least he's the only one in the Gospels that's named at the cross. And I wonder about Bartimaeus. He followed Jesus in the way up to Jerusalem. If he stayed through the week with the Lord with these new eyes, he was going to see what many eyes would not want to see. And that is to see the Savior hanging on the cross. And he would see the man of Calvary gored in blood. What a sight Bartimaeus would see. For years he was blind. And in the week in which he got his new eyes, he saw the Lord in his human body. And he saw him kneel to a Roman cross, if he was there. We are told here that he followed Jesus to Jerusalem. He got in the way. If he stayed around Jerusalem that week, he would have seen the dying form of the Lord Jesus on that cross. He would have seen the nails. And he would have seen the darkness. At least the sun shut out and the darkness descending. And he would have seen the darkness dispel and the Lord Jesus crying out, "It is finished!" And Bartimaeus would have been convinced in the passion, the mission of the Lord Jesus. Let me tell you, that's what faith does. Real saving gospel faith gives you a passion for the mission of the gospel, the cross of the Lord Jesus. You are convinced all men need to hear the message of the cross. It makes missionaries out of every born-again Christian. I cannot help myself. My new eyes of faith, fixed on the loveliness of Jesus, the man of Calvary, make me a follower of the Son of God all the way to the cross. How many followers of the Lord Jesus are here tonight? How many Christians are in the way, all the way to the cross? It brings suffering. It brings shame. It brings discomfort. It brings sometimes tribulation. But you must follow Jesus in the way. That's what faith does. And if you turn back, if you go back to the world and to the old road of begging, empty, you deny the very Savior that bought you with his own blood. All other ways are ways of unbelief. They're ways of darkness. They're ways to hell. But the way of the cross for the Christian leads home. And the Lord might be asking you to do the most difficult thing that you can ever imagine. Some people get the idea that if you're a follower of Jesus, you're only asked to do easy things. Well, Peter wasn't asked to do easy things. John wasn't asked to do easy things. And those that witnessed the death of Christ on the cross, and perhaps Bartimaeus along with them, they may have seen things that shook them to the boots. And of course, it took the resurrection to give them the authority and the confidence they needed. My friend, will you cry tonight for mercy? Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Will you come to him for new eyes? And will you follow him in the way? Tonight, not next week, now tonight. Arise, get up, cast away the old life. Be done with it. If you have real faith, you'll come. You'll come to Jesus. And you'll leave the world behind. And you'll follow the Savior all the way. In Jesus' name, I bid you come. He has all authority and power. And he can save you. Or perhaps he can redirect your life if you're already a Christian. And with new eyes, clear vision, you can serve the Lord as never before. Let that be true tonight, that we don't go back to the darkness, but press all the way of the cross.